Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're going to try to tackle a pretty big topic.
Yeah.
We're looking at urban planning.
Okay.
And specifically the question of, like, how do you plan for the future when the future is, like, always changing?
Yeah, always in flux.
And we've got this academic paper that we're going to be looking at for this.
Okay.
Called The Limits of Planning.
Interesting.
By Christoph and Ash.
Okay.
And Gert Verschragen.
All right.
And they use this thing called Nicholas Luhmann's social systems theory.
Okay.
Which sounds very...
Yeah. It sounds a little bit intimidating.
But we're going to try to break it down.
Yeah.
And see, like, what does this actually mean for you?
Right.
The person living in this world that never stops changing.
Yeah. It's super interesting because I think a lot of people think of planning as just like,
right.
Okay, here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Here's the solution. We're done.
Yeah.
But it's obviously...
It's way more messy than that.
Yeah, way more messy. And this paper kind of really digs into the reasons why.
So these authors, Christoph and Ash, he's like a community development expert.
Okay.
So he knows all about how culture and politics play into this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Verschragen, who's bringing in all this like really heavy theory, social systems, human rights, all the legal stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty dynamic duo.
Absolutely. And I think... You know, they start by tackling this assumption that we can plan the future.
Right.
You know, can we actually just like...
Right. Can you design the future when everything's always changing?
When everything's in constant flux, right?
Right.
And that's where I think Luhmann comes in with his social systems theory.
Okay.
He says modern society isn't just like one big blob. It's actually a bunch of these independent systems that are kind of all running at the same time.
Okay. So like what kind of...
So you've got things like law.
Okay.
You've got politics.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... economics.
Okay.
You've even got things like art, and they all have their own rules.
Okay.
And priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all kind of running alongside each other.
Okay. So like imagine trying to explain like zoning regulations to an artist who only cares about how a building looks.
Right. Not what it's actually used for.
Exactly. Or like trying to tell a developer that they have to prioritize the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Over making a profit.
Right, exactly.
So it's like all these different worlds are just like...
Bumping into each other.
Yeah, constantly bumping into each other. So then planning isn't just like drawing lines on a map. It's like trying to figure out how to get all these different systems to work together.
Right, and I think that's what makes it so challenging.
Yeah.
And Luhmann's theory kind of gives us a reason for why it's so hard.
Okay.
So he uses this term autopoiesis.
Autopoiesis. Okay.
And all that means is that these systems are self-producing. So they make decisions based on their own internal logic, not based on like someone telling them what to do.
Okay. That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
So like how does that play out like
in
a city council meeting?
So think about it this way. So let's say you've got like a development project that everybody thinks is like,
like, this is a great idea.
A great idea. It's going to be awesome.
Uh-huh.
But it actually goes against some kind of, like, zoning law.
Okay.
The legal system is going to be like,
Nope,
can't do that because they have to uphold the law.
Yeah.
So that's, like, a really simple example of how these different systems have their own goals.
Right.
And understanding those goals is, like, key.
Okay.
If you're trying to be a planner.
Yeah, because you can come up with a fantastic plan.
You can have the best plan in the world.
Right.
But if it clashes with, like, the logic of the political system the legal system, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So it's like you're hitting up against these limits.
You're hitting the limits of planning.
So planners can't just be like, do what I say.
Exactly.
Like, no matter how great my plan is.
It doesn't work that way.
So if control is out.
Yeah.
What can planners actually do?
Right.
Do they just, like, give up?
Well, not quite.
Okay.
This is where I think Luhmann gets really interesting.
Okay.
So instead of trying to control these systems.
Uh-huh.
Like they're puppets on a string.
Right.
He says we should focus more on steering.
Steering.
Steering. Yeah. So like gently nudging things.
Yeah, gently nudging things in the right direction.
Okay.
So like think about if you're trying to train a cat.
Yeah.
You can't like force a cat to do what you want.
No.
But you could maybe entice it with a toy.
Or like some treats.
Right, or some treats, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're kind of working with like the inherent tendencies of the cat to try to get it to do what you want.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how this could work.
But how do you actually steer something as complex as like the housing market?
Right. Well, Luhmann gives us a couple of different ways that we can do this.
Okay.
So one is called Coupling organizations. And this is things like public-private partnerships.
Okay.
That try to act as bridges between all these different systems.
Okay.
And try to get people with different priorities.
Right.
Talking to each other.
Like you said, the people who want affordable housing.
Right.
And the developers who want to make a profit.
Yeah.
Maybe they can find some common ground.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the idea.
And then everybody gets something.
Exactly. And then the second method is called steering through programming.
Okay.
And this is basically setting up rules and conditions that kind of influence behavior without totally dictating it.
So instead of saying build this,
right,
you're saying if you build according to these guidelines, then you'll get these benefits.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a good example of this is zoning laws.
Okay.
So zoning laws don't tell you exactly what to build.
Right.
But they incentivize certain types of development.
Okay.
By laying out the rules of the game.
Right.
So it's acknowledging that these systems have their own logic.
Right.
And you're trying to work with that logic to influence the outcome.
So this really flips the script on how we think about planners.
It does.
It's not like they're dictators. Yeah. They're more like negotiators or something.
Yeah, like mediators.
Yeah, like
facilitators. Trying to get everybody on the same page.
Exactly.
And figure out like the best outcome for everybody.
Trying to understand all these systems.
Right.
And steer them towards something good.
Yeah.
It's definitely more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately
it's probably more effective.
More effective in the long run.
Yeah. It's like they're playing 3D chess.
Totally, yeah.
With all these different systems trying to make the best moves.
Absolutely. And I think this is important to understand, not just for like professional planners.
Yeah.
But for all of us who like live in these systems.
Right. We're all affected by it.
Yeah. And are affected by all their decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I'm not a city planner.
Yeah.
Knowing how this stuff works.
Right.
Helps me understand why things happen the way they do.
Totally. And I think it also like gives you a little bit more power.
Okay.
To see like, okay, what are the forces at play here?
Yeah.
Who are the different players?
Right.
And where do I fit in?
Okay.
If I want to try to influence things.
This is making me think about my own city in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the basics
of
like what Luhmann's theory is about and how it challenges all these old ideas about planning.
Right.
But how does this actually play out?
Yeah.
Like in the real world.
Right.
I'm ready for some examples.
Well, I think that's a great place to jump off. The paper gives some really fascinating examples of what happens when this goes wrong.
Okay.
And what happens when it goes right.
All right, let's dive in.
Let's do it.
All right, so let's get into some specifics.
Okay.
What kind of real-world examples does this paper give?
Yeah, so one of the things they talk about is this idea of using meta-languages in planning.
Meta-languages.
Yeah, meta-languages.
Is that like...
It sounds kind of fancy.
Yeah, it sounds like some secret planner code.
Right.
I need to crack.
Not exactly, but it's something that we actually see all the time.
Okay.
So think about like a new park project.
No.
You know, the city council might talk about community benefits, but what does that actually mean?
Right.
Like, what does that mean to different people?
Right. For some people, it's like trees.
Yeah.
For other people, it's like attracting investment.
For some people, it's about safety.
Right.
So everyone's using the same words.
Right. But they're not.
But they might not be talking about the same thing.
Yeah. It's like they're speaking the same language.
Exactly.
But they're not actually on the same page.
They're not on the same page.
Yeah.
And the paper uses this example of like a project manager.
Okay.
Who's super excited because everyone's throwing around these buzzwords.
Uh-huh.
Like sustainable development.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds great on the surface.
Sure.
Right?
Everyone's like, yeah, sustainability.
Sustainability. This is awesome.
Yep.
But the developer might be thinking about like eco-friendly features that are going to increase their property value.
Right.
And the community group is actually thinking about like long-term environmental impact and social equity.
Right. So it's like everyone's nodding their heads.
Yeah.
But
under the surface.
Underneath, they're like, wait a minute.
There's this huge disconnect.
Yeah.
And so this ties into a bigger issue.
Okay.
That Luhmann calls de-differentiation.
De-differentiation.
Yeah. And remember how we talked about how society is like...
Yeah. All these separate systems.
All these separate systems.
Mm-hmm.
De-differentiation is what happens when the lines between those systems start to get blurry.
Okay. So this actually makes me think about this development project in my neighborhood where like the planning commission was so focused on the economic benefits.
Okay.
But they barely even talked about like
right
how it was going to affect traffic mm-hmm. or like the character of the neighborhood. Yeah. It just felt like they were only seeing like
one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if planning becomes too focused on just one system,
right,
like the economic system, it can totally ignore the needs and perspectives of other systems.
Like a social system or the environmental system.
Exactly.
Right.
And so even though everyone might be using the same words, right, like progress or development, they could have completely different ideas.
Totally different ideas.
About what those words actually mean.
Right.
And that's when you can run into trouble.
Because you end up with plans that might look good on paper.
Right.
But don't actually serve the needs.
Yeah, of the community as a whole.
Of the entire community, exactly.
Yeah, it's like you said before, it's like using one tool in your toolbox
totally
to try to fix everything.
One tool for every job.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
So how do we avoid falling into this trap?
That's a great question.
Is it just like making sure everybody has a seat at the table?
That's a good start.
Okay.
I think it's also about recognizing that different systems have different priorities.
Okay.
And that's okay.
Okay.
The goal isn't to like erase those differences.
Right.
It's to try to figure out how to integrate them.
Okay.
In a way that benefits everyone.
So instead of trying to like blend everything together.
Right.
You're saying we need to acknowledge.
Yeah.
That there's this complexity.
Recognize the complexity and figure out how to work with it.
Yeah.
And I think that requires kind of a shift in mindset.
Okay.
We need to move away from this idea.
Yeah.
That planning is about like imposing our will on the world.
Yeah.
And instead think about it as more like understanding and navigating these complexities.
So less about control.
Yeah.
And more about influence.
Influence, adaptation.
Adaptation, exactly.
Okay.
And this is where I think those Lumen ideas about steering come back into play.
Yeah.
Remember, it's about working with the systems.
Mm-hmm.
Not against them.
Okay.
Trying to guide them towards something good.
Okay. This makes me think about those coupling organizations we were talking about before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could they play a role in this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So think about like a community group that's trying to save like a historic building.
Okay.
They might feel totally powerless against the developer who just wants to like tear it down and build condos.
Right. They're just seeing dollar signs.
They're seeing dollar signs.
Yeah.
But if that community group can partner up with like a historical preservation society,
they can tap into the power of the legal system
through
things like historical landmark designations.
Oh, okay.
And suddenly they're not just a group of concerned citizens.
Yeah.
They're a force to be reckoned with.
Right. Because they've got the law on their side now.
Exactly.
So by understanding how these systems work, they can use them to their advantage.
Absolutely. It's about being strategic and figuring out how to leverage the different systems to create the changes that you want to see.
Okay, this is starting to feel a lot less hopeless.
Yeah, it's not just about like throwing your hands up in the air and saying, oh, well, the system's rigged.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do.
It's like there's all these levers.
There are levers you can pull.
Okay.
You just got to know where they are.
But what about just the average person?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Like if I'm not part of a community group or a developer, like how can I influence these systems?
That's a great question. And that's something that I think Lumen's theory can really help us understand.
Okay, so we've talked about planners trying to steer these systems and like community groups finding ways to kind of like leverage them to their advantage.
Right.
But what about the rest of us?
Right.
Who aren't professional planners or like activists or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just like a regular person living my life.
Right.
Can I still make a difference? And this is where I think this gets really empowering.
Okay.
Because Lumen's theory basically highlights that we all participate in these systems every day.
Okay.
Whether we realize it or not.
Like we're all kind of in the game.
We're all in the game.
Whether we know it or not.
Yeah, whether we know the rules or not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just like any game, the more you understand the rules, the better you can play.
Okay, so give me an example.
So let's take voting.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people feel like, oh, my one vote doesn't matter.
Right, like what difference is it really going to make?
But politicians are actually really responsive to their constituents.
Right.
So if enough people start demanding change on a particular issue, it can actually shift the priorities of the entire political system.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if a politician sees that like enough voters care about affordable housing, then they're going to be more likely to like
to prioritize it.
Put it on their agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And it's not just voting. Every time you buy something, you're sending a signal to the economic system.
Oh, interesting.
About what you value.
Okay.
So, you know, if enough people choose to support businesses that are prioritizing sustainability, it can actually drive change in the market.
So all of our choices.
All our choices.
Like have an impact on these systems.
Okay. What about like just talking about these issues?
Yeah. Don't underestimate the power of just raising awareness.
You know, talking to your friends and family and neighbors about these things.
Okay.
Can plant seeds and change perspectives.
It's like starting a conversation.
Exactly.
Sometimes all you need is just to get people thinking about it.
Just get people thinking.
Yeah.
And remember, these systems are not static.
Good.
They're constantly evolving based on all the inputs that they're getting.
Right.
And we all contribute to that evolution.
Through our actions and our choices.
Through our actions, our choices.
Yeah.
Everything we do is part of this.
So it's not just something that's like done to us.
Right.
It's something that we're all
participating in it.
Part of.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I think is so powerful about Luhmann's theory.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us that even in this crazy complex world full of all these systems, we still have agency.
Okay.
You can't control everything.
Right.
But we can definitely influence.
I can try to nudge things.
Nudge things in the right direction.
In a better direction.
Yeah.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I've learned a lot.
Me too.
About how this stuff all works.
Yeah. It's a great paper.
And also like how I can actually make a difference.
Yeah. I think that's the key takeaway.
Yeah.
You know, next time you encounter some kind of planning issue in your community.
Yeah.
Don't just like shrug your shoulders and be like, oh, well, that's just the way it is.
That's just how things are.
Think about the systems.
Okay.
Think about the different players and think about where you fit in.
Yeah.
If you want to make a difference.
Okay.
You might be surprised by how much of an impact you can have.
So listeners, we leave you with this question.
Yes.
What systems do you feel most connected to?
Yeah.
And how can you use your understanding of those systems to advocate for the changes you want to see in your own community?
I bet.
We'll be back next time with another deep dive into a topic that will hopefully make you think differently about the world around you.
Always.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.